My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my privilege to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This radio program features the music ministry and the spoken word ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. And I do hope that you will stay tuned to our program today, because we have another very special message for you. I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to you. Pastor Phipps always presents new perspectives on old doctrines and old principles from the Bible. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about our message in just a short moment, but before that, we have some music for you. This is a song by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled Eternal Life. Please stay tuned here with us on The More Abundant Life.
To eternal
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This is Adrian Westney, your host. And today, Pastor Phipps is going to present to us the second part of a message we started in a previous program, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth, Part 2. We're going to hear today. This will be program number 227 in our series. I hope that you will enjoy the message, enjoy what Pastor Phipps has to present. Here now is the message, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth, Part 2.
The people of Jesus' time understood that Jesus was saying to them that to be the salt of the earth was to be something powerful, something special, something valuable. Listen, whenever salt shows up, it's a party. It's one of those elements, are you with me? You don't really miss it until it doesn't show up for the party. Most of us at some time in our lives have had the experience of going over to some sister's home after church, hungry as the day you came into the world. You waited, are you with me? You waited until somebody mercifully was asked to say grace. And you sat down at the table filled with sumptuous, delicious dishes. The carrots were a deep, bright yellow. The broccoli a vivid, brilliant green. You're getting hungry right about now, I can tell. The Wedgwood china looked like it was delicately hand-painted. Almost expectantly, you took your fork in hand, sampled your first steaming morsel. Right away, you knew you were in trouble. You knew that fine china doesn't make a good meal, but you found it out right then in that moment, and you made a decision that you weren't going to let your face show your displeasure, and the first thing you did was reach for the salt. You know I'm telling the truth. You know you're not a cook yourself, but you know a little bit of salt. And believe me, there's nothing more disappointing than eating an entire meal cooked without salt. It's so bland, it's tasteless. You'd almost rather eat your own shoe. You'd almost rather eat styrofoam. Maybe some of you have stayed in a hospital where your doctor stipulated a salt-free diet. And after your first bite, you wondered if the doctor was on your side, if he was trying to make you better or make you more sick. You know what I'm talking about. Every one of us have some food. I'm talking about the power of salt. Amen? Every one of us have some food that we will not eat without a little salt. For some it's Brussels sprouts. Some it's broccoli. Salt in its proper quantity is a blessing. Too much salt is a bad thing too, amen? There are some sisters and yeah, some brothers who cook with too much salt. Somebody forgot to tell them that salt has to be exquisitely blended into food, not dropped on top of the food. And I've learned in my life that the ability to cook is an acquired spiritual gift. And some have to pray harder for it than others. That may be true, but this I know. Brothers and sisters, salt is such a tiny thing, but boy, it can make a huge impact. It can have a huge difference. A little Irish boy was asked once what salt was, and he answered, "Salt is the thing that makes food taste bad if you don't put it on it." Is powerful. But salt has its limitations. It can't add flavor, but it can bring it out. It can enhance flavor, but it can't replace flavor. If your food starts out tasting bad, there's very little that salt can help with, you know? If the food has even a little potential of tasting good, just the right amount of salt will bring out whatever little flavor there is. Salt is powerful. And when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," you got to recognize in that culture, in that environment, that was an explosive, revolutionary statement. Salt not only makes food palatable, it helps you digest your food. It helps you enjoy your food. Even Job, if you have your Bibles, Job 6:6 says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" Did you know that's in the Bible? Job said, "Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" In the days before refrigeration, all people had to preserve their food with salt. in the autumn or the fall of the year, God says, take your time. People would kill their meat and fish, and then they use salt to preserve the meat all winter long because they didn't have refrigeration. In many tropical countries where refrigeration is still scarce, people still rub salt into meat to keep it from going bad. Salt was so important, the historian Plutarch recorded that the people of his time were so amazed at the ability of salt to preserve dead meat that they believed that when you applied salt to a dead body, it was like giving that dead body new life. Wow. That's how heavy salt was. They realized that what we figured out today, that salt is a remarkable preservative. The body needs salt. The reason food needs a preservative is that food decays with time, and food that is decaying will eventually rot and stink. You know, many years ago, my brother and I, we bought two rotis. Now, for those of you who don't know what a roti is, it looks like a burrito, but it's better. And trust me, there's nothing more delicious, nothing more delectable, and this is pre-vegetarian days, than a good goat roti. My brother and I had these two rotis, and for some reason, we often had little competitions going on between each other. We decided to see who could keep their roti the longest. After a day or two, I couldn't hold out. I took my roti and ate my roti. Lo and behold, he forgot he even had a roti. And after a couple of weeks, we noticed a foul odor coming out of this paper bag. And we looked inside the bag. It was my brother's roti, rotting, decaying, putrefying. He won the contest, but I enjoyed my roti. He couldn't eat his because decay is dangerous. If something is full of decay, usually that means that there are diseases that are accompanying that decay. Salt has the power to arrest decay and keep good food from going bad too quickly. That is why in our modern era, prepackaged food, almost everything you buy off the shelf is full of salt. I'm telling you, salt is powerful. Salt has become so prolific in our modern diet that each of us, listen, eats hundreds of pounds of salt every year. Frankly, it's killing some of us. That's why some of us have high blood pressure. Huh? As a nation, we eat too much salt. Even though we misuse salt, however, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus wanted us to know that salt is powerful stuff. It is a preservative. And check this out. It is also an antiseptic. That's why when you have a sore throat, the old folks used to recommend you gargle in salt water. And frankly, many of us still do it. I know I do. Salt is powerful medicine. Throughout the scriptures, God commanded the use of salt in sacrifices and important ceremonies in Leviticus. If you have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. Leviticus 2, verse 13. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou, what? Season with salt. Wow. God said, all of your offerings, season them with salt. And if you have your Bibles, also turn to Numbers 18, the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 19. And all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. It is a what? Covenant of salt. Forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Brothers and sisters, God used salt as a sign of a covenant. Of something that would last. Hallelujah. Amen. So when Jesus said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. He was doing more than just putting forth an allegory. He was putting forth an idea that was revolutionary. Jesus could have said, "You, my followers, are the honey of the world." He could have said, "You're the sugar of the world." He could have said, "You are the Nutrasweet of the world." He could have said, "You are the sage and rosemary spices of the world." But instead, Jesus simply said, "You are the salt of the earth." The salt of the earth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus, you see, sees the world as rotting. Have mercy. Decaying from the inside. And he's placed you, he's placed me as his followers to go into the world, to preserve righteousness into the world, to slow down the decay. Have mercy, Lord, to hold back the rotting. When Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," he's talking not about pastors and church workers and teachers, school teachers. He's talking about you. He says, as the salt of the earth, you are to be a blessing, purifying influence in an immoral, corrupt generation. Amen. You are salt, said Jesus, in a world that stinks. It stinks with the stench of injustice. It stinks with the stench of discrimination. It stinks with the stench of oppression. It stinks with the stench of racism. It stinks with the stench of classism and sexism. And God says, "I am putting salt into the world. You are the salt of the world, and I placed you to preserve whatever righteousness is still left in the world." This world is a dying world. But wait, said Jesus, you can't be salt if you isolate yourself from people. You can't stay away from people because spiritually you think they're dirty. If you, my salt, lose its savor, its effectiveness, what good are you? But, amen. Salt by itself has no value. If you keep salt sitting there on the table, it's not going to do anybody any good. One of our problems, listen carefully, is that we are having in our world today, one of our problems is that Christians as salt are losing their effectiveness. We are losing our power to preserve and bring out the joy and beauty of following Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we are making two classic mistakes. We don't realize that to be salt, we've got to minister to others. Amen. We've got to mingle with people. That's right. Yes, sir. You can't just dump yourself on people during crusades.
That's right. Amen.
You've got to mingle with people. Amen? We don't realize that Jesus expects us to follow his example in keeping pure and distinct while touching the lives of people. Each day we ought to ask ourselves, are we salt in our families? Are we salt to our neighbors? Are we salt on the golf course? Are we salt at the office party? George Barna, are you still with me today? George Barna, a contemporary researcher, has shown in his latest research, check this out, that the average Christian in the average church is almost indistinguishable from the rest of society. What he was saying was that average Christians, we are just like the world. Our teenagers are getting just as pregnant. Teenagers are doing just as many drugs. Our marriages are ending up with just as high rates of divorce. Our witness is becoming diluted. We're losing our saltiness. Our witness is becoming diluted. And when saints are as sinful as sinners, salt has lost its savor. Now all of us are weak. We're Christians. But we're human. He says, I remember that you but dust. And you may feel like you're covered with the stench of sin. And you may be wondering, will you ever be like salt? But what you've got to realize is that on your own strength, none of us, on our own strength, none of us are salt. Amen. By yourself, you're not salt. Yes. It is only through Jesus. Yes. and his grace manifest in your life, that you can walk into a stinking world and be salt of the earth. And we are only salt by his amazing grace. Salt fights germs. Salt stings. When you apply it to wounds, it stings. He said, blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you. That's because you're stinging them. Oh, are you with me today? You're living the truth. You're speaking the truth. You're walking in wisdom. Let your speech, Colossians 4, 5, and 6. You've got one more text. Go to your Bible. Colossians 4, chapters 5 and 6. The Bible says, walk in wisdom. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Walk in wisdom before those who are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace and what? Seasoned with salt. That, oh, hallelujah, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Oh, perhaps you, like me, have been to a restaurant to eat and you went to use the salt shaker. You saw that the salt was all clumped up, trapped in the salt shaker. Can't do you any good. We're trapped in churches that are really salt shakers. We're clumped up. Congregating, sitting next to each other, never getting out of the shaker. Are you with me today? Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord, today. I came across, and you know, we're not setting the best example. I heard of a minister who was making a little wooden toy to support a vine. Actually, he was making a trellis. And as he was pounding away, he noticed a little boy was watching him. The youngster didn't say a word, just kept watching him. So the preacher didn't worry about it, kept on working, thinking one, not long from now, the little boy would leave. But he didn't leave. So pleased at the thought that his work was being admired, the pastor finally said, well, son, you trying to pick up some pointers on gardening? No, replied the little boy, I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer. Waiting to see whether this salt has lost its savor. We're salt in the salt shaker. We got to get out this salt shaker. And I was looking at Redskins Stadium the other day. It's amazing. 50,000 people show up to see the Redskins play. They don't pay their money to see how well the Redskins huddle.
That's right. Yes, sir. Come on now.
They show up to see how well, actually, they show up to see what difference the huddle makes.
All right. Okay. All right. Yes,
sir. Jesus is waiting to see what difference the huddle makes. Are we salt? Or have we lost our savor? Anyone can call a play in the huddle. But what happens when the pastor says, break?
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What happens when the pastor says, break? Benediction. Do you go out to be salt? Do you go out to be what God wants you to be? One last thing salt does. You know what salt does? It makes people thirsty. That's why they put salted peanuts and pretzels at bars. Because they know the more they eat those pretzels, the more they'll drink. As salt in the earth, you ought to so live that your life makes people thirsty for the water of life, thirsty for Jesus. But you cannot do that if your life is not a savor of that salt that Jesus calls salt of the earth. So don't withdraw yourself. Be what Jesus called you to be. You are, said Jesus, the salt of the earth.
We gotta keep believing we can make up.
Well, that concludes the message for today. We heard part two of the title, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Again, that phone number is 301-577-6342. Please ask for program number 227 today. That's program number 227. And that will provide you with the correct information to obtain the title, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth, Part 2. Here at The More Abundant Life, we are always appreciative of the support of our listeners, your prayers, your comments, and your financial contributions. I hope that you will join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. Please take from this program all of the richest blessings that God can provide for you. And I hope that you'll join us again for another program. Remember, though, the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart, fill the world with love. We may not change the world, but we can give it a fighting chance. Don't know what tomorrow brings, but we can make hunger. In your heart.